Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering. It's a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in our spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let us now join together in song with hymn number 139. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. Today's topic for the healing message is Lighting the Dark Places of Earth. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And I'd like to start by sharing a passage with you from Mrs. Eddy from Miscellaneous Writings. I make strong demands on love, call for active witnesses to prove it, and noble sacrifices and grand achievements as its result. Unless these appear, I cast aside the word as a sham and counterfeit, having no ring of the true metal. Love cannot be a mere abstraction or goodness without activity and power. As a human quality, the glorious significance of affection is more than words. It is the tender, unselfish deed done in secret, the silent, ceaseless prayer, the self-forgetful heart that overflows, the veiled form feeling on an errand of mercy out of a side door, the little feet tripping along the sidewalk, the gentle hand opening the door that turns toward want and woe, sickness and sorrow, and thus lighting the dark places of earth. The Bible. 1 John. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Luke. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Romans. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. 1 John, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Romans. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Thessalonians. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and with the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Mark. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. 2 Chronicles. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in 140th year of his reign. 1 Peter. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. Matthew. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And from Science and Health, the power of the human will should be exercised only in subordination to truth, else it will misguide the judgment and free the lower propensities. It is the province of spiritual sense to govern man. Material, erring, human thoughts act injuriously both upon the body and through it. The refutation becomes arduous, not because the testimony of sin or disease is true, but solely on the account of the tenacity of belief in it. Due to the force of education and the overwhelming weight of opinions on the wrong side, all teaching that the body suffers, as if matter could have sensation. Human resistance to divine science weakens in proportion as mortals give up error for truth, and the understanding of being supersedes mere belief. Until the author of this book learned the vastness of Christian Science, the fixedness of mortal illusions, and the human hatred of truth, she cherished sanguine hopes that Christian Science would meet with immediate and universal acceptance. Selfishness and sensualism are educated in mortal mind by the thoughts ever recurring to oneself, by conversations about the body, and by the expectations of perpetual pleasure or pain from it. And this education is at the expense of spiritual growth. If we array our thought in mortal vestures, it must lose its immortal nature. Mortal error will vanish in a moral chemicalization. This mental fermentation has begun and will continue until all errors of belief yield to understanding. Belief is changeable, but spiritual understanding is changeless. As this consummation draws nearer, he who has shaped his course in accordance with divine science will endure to the end. As material knowledge diminishes and spiritual understanding increases, real objects will be apprehended mentally instead of materially. During this final conflict, wicked minds will endeavor to find means by which to accomplish more evil. But those who discern Christian Science will hold crime in check. They will aid in the ejection of error. They will maintain law and order and cheerfully await the certainty of ultimate perfection. Christ is the true idea voicing good, the divine message from God to men speaking to human consciousness. Ontology is defined as the science of the necessary constituents and relations of all beings, and it underlines all metaphysical practice. Our system of mind healing rests on the apprehension of the nature and essence of all being, on the divine mind and love's essential qualities. Its pharmacy is moral, and its medicine is intellectual and spiritual, though used for physical healing. We think that we are healed when a disease disappears, though it is liable to reappear. But we are never thoroughly healed until the liability to be ill is removed. So-called mortal mind, or the mind of mortals being the remote, predisposing, and exciting cause of all suffering, the cause of disease must be obliterated through Christ in divine science, or the so-called physical senses will get the victory. Unless an ill is rightly met, and fairly overcome by truth, the ill is never conquered. If God destroys not sin, sickness, and death, they are not destroyed in the mind of mortals, but seem to this so-called mind to be immortal. What God cannot do, man need not attempt. If God heals not the sick, they are not healed. For no lesser power equals the infinite all power, but God, truth, life, love, does heal the sick through the prayer of the righteous. Can drugs go of their own accord to the brain and destroy the so-called inflammation of disordered functions, thus reaching mortal mind through matter? Drugs do not affect a corpse, and truth does not distribute drugs through the blood, and from them derive a supposed effect of intelligence and sentiment. Scientific healing has this advantage over other methods, that in it truth controls error. Other methods undertake to oppose error with error, and thus they increase the antagonism of one form of matter towards other forms of matter or error, and the warfare between spirit and the flesh goes on. Many are willing to open the eyes of the people to the power of good resident in divine mind, but they are not so willing to point out the evil in human thought and expose evil's hidden mental ways of accomplishing iniquity. Why this backwardness, since exposure is necessary to ensure the avoidance of evil? Because people like you better when you tell them their virtues than when you tell them their vices. It requires the spirit of our blessed master to tell a man his faults, and so risk human displeasure for the sake of doing right and benefiting our race. Who is telling mankind that the foe in ambush? Is the informer one who sees the foe? If so, listen and be wise. Escape from evil and designate those as unfaithful stewards who have seen the danger and yet have given no warning. Then comes the question, how do drugs, hygiene, and animal magnetism heal? It may be affirmed that they do not heal, but only relieve suffering temporarily, exchanging one disease for another. We classify disease as error, which nothing but truth or mind can heal. And this mind must be divine, not human. Mind transcends all other power and will ultimately supersede all other means in healing. The good that a poisonous drug seems to do is evil, for it robs man of reliance on God, omnipotent mind, and according to belief, poisons the human system. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of today's meeting.
For thine is the kingdom, and thine.